It's the NFC West. It's one of those weeks where it's like the NFL knew we had a show coming up covering the NFC West, and they just dropped everything right in our lap. They just made it so easy for us to talk about stuff this week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you need content? Here's your content.
Like, I wasn't even worried about it before they dumped the content on us.
Right.
And now it's just like, all righty then. I guess it's an easy show this week. Okay, great. It took us 10 minutes to type up notes. I don't even think we needed notes for this episode. Everything's so fresh and just happened. I didn't even need them, but we did. We got them anyway. So I guess that's really all that matters. Hey, this is On and Off the Field with Durf and Dylan, presented to you by the All Sports All Plays Network and the Party Cast Network, where the party never, ever ends. This is what, episode 44 of season 4, episode 164. 444 444 4 4. If you were in an accident, think you no. Was that those people's actual number? 4 4. Was it fours? Was it Celino and Barnes back in the day?
No. This is William Matar. That's William Matar.
Oh.
Celino and Barnes did. They were like 854-2020 for a long time, and then they went to all eights.
Yeah, they were the eights. Okay.
Yep.
Those are the theme songs that you just, I don't know how they land those phone numbers. They must pay someone a lot of money for those numbers, but it's catchy. It's so easy. For the rest of your life, you'll just be sitting there going, 888-888. So you'll be singing jingles 4 4 5, all like for the rest of your life, just because of phone numbers. Just because of phone numbers and commercials. Stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to help us reach a wider audience with On and Off the Field, what you can do is head to your bathroom right now and floss. Just get on in there and just start flossing. You don't actually need anything to floss other than your phone, because all you got to do is follow, like, observe, subscribe, and share to anything On and Off the Field related. Recommended by 10 out of 10 podcasters everywhere. This segment's what brought to us by Stefan Diggs and whoever this guy is. I know his last name is Gates. I don't remember what his first name is.
Okay.
It's a weird last name. But his last name's Gates. Weird first name. But yeah, that's flossing. Durf, you can help him out a little bit if they're having trouble understanding the concept.
I can assist them. They can follow on TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, all by searching at OOTF Podcast. You can like by hitting that thumbs up, giving a heart reaction, or just telling us how you like the show by leaving a review on any of our pages or on Apple Podcasts. You can observe by watching us live every week Thursdays starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can subscribe by clicking those subscribe buttons on Twitch and YouTube and making sure to ring the bell so you get notified when we go live. And last but not least, you can share by letting your friends and family know about us by sharing out the stream or any post that you like from this award-winning podcast.
And I know all of you just absolutely love everything about this, so it'll be very easy for you to find something to share.
Uh-huh.
And I think we have our polls up on YouTube. The poll is up.
Sweet.
Who wins the NFC West? Your choices are the Gridiron Gang, the Kids from Sandlot. Oh, no, that's something else. Seahawks, Rams, 49ers, and Cardinals are the options for this poll. So go over there to our YouTube channel. You can watch live over there. And then you can also vote on the poll, because I'd love to hear what everyone else has to say about their opinions on maybe one of the lesser Wild West kind of seasons that we've ever gotten, or at least lately, out of the NFC West. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, everyone's been saying like it's the Wild Wild West. It's like four teams that can all make the playoffs. They're crazy. They're battling each other. And now it's like, oh, it's probably pretty one-sided here, I think.
Yeah, I would say so.
It's unfortunate that it's turned like this. And it's funny that the most competitive division now is the AFC West. So it's still the Wild Wild West, just in the wrong conference.
Yeah.
So the AFC gets their turn, I guess. Fine, whatever. We'll give you one season. One season, and then the NFC West is going to come roaring back because the Seahawks are going to draft the next Russell Wilson next season, and it's just going to kick off right where it left off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Durf doesn't believe me, apparently. He's just like, yeah, it's a load of shit, but it's just okay. All right.
But do they really want another – do they really not want another Russell Wilson, though? Like, they just need a good quarterback. Does it have to be like
– I would take another Russell Wilson because he won us the Super Bowl. Fair
enough. I'll take any version of a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, I guess. Let's put it that way. So the first team we're going to kick off this divisional recap with and prediction is the Arizona Cardinals. We have to lead off with the Cardinals today.
Cardinals.
Dude, the Cardinals have had kind of a wild day, not only because it's their own team that was affected, but another team by a former Cardinal. The quarterback, that Kyler Murray, who is newly paid, he replaced another quarterback who was heading to their fifth team, and the dude's only like 23 years old. That would be Josh Rosen, where 11 mistakes were picked ahead of him, apparently, in that draft class. But he's heading to his fifth team here in the Cleveland Browns on a 1-year contract.
Oh, yeah. Did they actually get him a contract, or did they know he worked out?
It's a 1-year contract. He is signed. Yeah, I think nice. That was it was made official like a minute before we went live. Okay. More on the Cleveland Browns signing QB Josh Rosen to a 1-year deal. I'm assuming this is going to be some version of a vet minimum.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Oh, he was the number 10 pick, so there's 9 mistakes made ahead of him. When he was with the Falcons last season, he completed 2 of 11 passes with 2 interceptions. My brother in Christ, buddy. He completed the same amount of passes to his own team as with the other team. And I can't stress this enough of how delusional Browns fans are. I went to a Twitter post that was talking about this acquisition of the Browns, and the question was stated, you know, how do you guys feel about this? How do Browns fans feel about this? Like the first 10 replies to that post was, well, he was never given a fair shot. He's ready to prove himself. This is his year. This is the guy. Oh my God. 2 of 11 last year with 2 interceptions. And this is the guy. He's ready. This is the year he's going to pop off. Let me be very clear. This is not 2022 is not the year of Josh Rosen. I want to make myself very clear when I say that. No matter what you believe. But to get back to the NFC West, Kyler Murray was indeed, he threw a big enough of a tantrum and now he got his money, deleting Instagram pictures and bios and TikToks or whatever else he did. It worked. And he got $230.5 million over 5 years with $160 million of it guaranteed. I think the reason they paid him was I think they have a fear of drafting quarterbacks. I don't think they want to let Kyler go, and then they have to go into the next draft thinking, oh God, we have to, oh my God, we have to try and draft another quarterback. And then it's like PTSD. It's like, what if we draft another Josh Rosen? Oh my God, I can't do this again. They finally landed on a quarterback that like is competent. So they're just like, yeah, just pay him. We can't lose him. That's my opinion.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Yeah, I mean, it puts it makes him the second highest paid quarterback per year right now. I'm just saying, but the Josh Allen contract looks so much better now. Like the Bills got him, I think, for a steal compared to what the Arizona Cardinals are going to pay Kyler Murray for a quarterback that blew a undefeated season halfway through the year and got obliterated in the playoffs.
Yeah, I want to pull it up real fast for all the folks at home that haven't seen the Twitter post yet. I'll even share my screen just to make this really official. This was the stat line of last season's playoff game with Kyler Murray. 19 of 34, 137 yards, and 2 interceptions. For a grand total of a 7.9 QBR and a 40.9 QB rating. This man was just given $230.5 million. Just want to make that clear. That the Cardinals saw that performance in the playoffs and said, this is our guy for the next 5+ years. Because I'm pretty sure he's locked up for, this is an extension, so he's locked up for I think 7 years is what I saw.
Yeah.
Godspeed. I mean, that's just have fun, you know. I think they jumped the gun. I think Kyler Murray actually successfully spooked the Cardinals into thinking he was just going to demand a trade and call it quits. Or he wasn't going to show up to camps and show up at all. Like it was going to be, it worked, I think. They got scared. So they did it. For the rest of their roster, they lost Christian Kirk. Who overall, I mean, he was a nice piece, but I guess it's not a huge loss the way they utilized him. It will suck for the first 6 games of the season while DeAndre Hopkins is serving his suspension. And by the time he comes back, it'll be like ready for that midseason decline that the Cardinals have every year. So even if they are like 6-0, he's going to get back and they're just going to start sucking. That's just kind of like how they do things there in Arizona.
Yeah. For sure.
They do have Trace McSorley on their roster. I did not know that. Good for them.
So they got a good backup. Okay.
And they have Colt McCoy too.
And so Colt McCoy can be the starter and Trace can be the backup. See, they should have let him walk.
Yeah, I don't see what the problem was.
They should have let Kyler just walk.
Yeah, just let him walk and you can start Colt McCoy at quarterback. I don't see why they paid him. They still got James Conner. At running back, good piece. A lot of touchdowns last year. The rest of their wide receiver room, they're gonna be playing with Marquise Brown, AJ Green, and Rondell Moore is their top 3 wide receivers.
Oh boy,
oh boy is right. They still have Zach Ertz at tight end, so I guess things are looking up. but JJ Watt is still on the roster, so I mean. he's still there. He's still playing football. And outside of that, I mean, nothing really has changed on the defensive side of the ball as far as I know. The team is pretty much intact. They lost Christian Kirk and replaced him with Marquise Brown. But it still feels like they got worse somehow. I don't know how, but it just feels like this Cardinals team is just – I don't know if it's just a bias – I just look at this team and go, for some reason, they feel like a worse football team. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any great additions they made this year. I feel like we talked more about the Cardinals losing people. They lost Chandler Jones.
Big loss. They lost
Christian Kirk. Yeah, I mean, they're not a team that can just say, oh, we're going to run it back, like what we did, like, with the report, because like, they're clearly missing some pieces. But, yeah, all about that spooky quarterback and his raging tantrum.
Hey, they locked up Kyler, so I guess that's a win in their books for the offseason. Let's go 11-6 and get blown out in the first round of the playoffs again. Let's do it, boys.
I mean, I feel like we also haven't seen this in a while either. Like, I feel like we haven't seen a quarterback get paid on a average team and just suffer. Like,
that's why I feel like they got scared. Because I think the Cardinals were legitimately scared of the unknown, and they really thought Kyler was just going to sit out the season if he didn't get paid, mm-hmm. or request some kind of a trade or do something. Like, they wanted him for some godforsaken reason, and they're going to have to live with the consequences of. Have the Cardinals won a playoff game with Kyler Murray yet?
No.
You're going to pay a guy $230.5 million and he's never won a playoff game. Fine. Go for it. That's on you, all right? That's on you.
Yep.
So I have them – well, I guess we'll do that at the end. We'll do the last two bullet points. We'll just recap everyone. We'll go to the 49ers. And I feel like this news got swept under the rug a little bit. I don't know. Yeah. I guess maybe everyone kind of assumed this was going to happen anyways, so it wasn't shocking. Right. But it seems like it's set in stone now. The 49ers have given Jimmy Garoppolo a free pass just to go look for a trade. Like, buddy, do your thing, find a team, and you're out of here. So it is officially going to happen. And Trey Lance is officially the starter for the 49ers. What's your gut reaction to that being said?
That Jimmy G's going to Seattle. And that the 49ers are going to probably be pretty terrible this year with Trey Lance. I heard some stuff, a few weeks back, listening to this one football podcast, and there's been reports out of San Francisco that, this offseason, Trey Lance is still struggling a little bit to see things on the field. His timing's a little off still. But hey, this guy played North Dakota State. Carson Wentz came from there. In one game because of COVID, and then got drafted third overall.
And he wasn't even great in that game.
No.
Like, he went out there and they made that game happen. They picked a garbage school to play against just so he could do well and perform in front of everybody. And he had like an average game, like nothing that you would draft a top 10, even a top 10 quarterback at that kind of game.
Yeah.
And everyone just screamed, well, it's because of COVID. He wasn't ready. Like, okay. How many games did he play last season? I don't even know. But he was 41 of 71 with 603 yards with 5 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. That was his season last year. That was in 6 games. He also ran 38 times for 168 yards and a touchdown. He took 4 sacks. I feel like that's important. He took 4 sacks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the stats aren't horrid, but I feel like stats definitely do not tell the full story. If anyone watched Trey Lance play in those 6 games, you know that it looked rough. That was an offense that did not operate smoothly.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. It's definitely going to be tough with Trey Lance. And, the 49ers losing their offensive coordinator to the Dolphins now, as Mike McDaniel is down there as a coach. And, you know, what is Kyle Shanahan going to do now? Like, it's, he's got his hands full with this one. Because there's, I feel like there's, I think there's playmakers on this team. And they, I feel like they were so close a couple years ago when they played the Chiefs in the Super Bowl that, like, that was their chance.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it done. And now it's like, how quickly or slowly do these pieces just fall off the team?
Yeah.
But,
yeah, it does feel like the window's kind of closed, and they've been losing pieces here and there. Like, they almost lost Debo, which, you know, if unless something crazy happens, he might be gone next season. How many more like seasons go by until Kittle's gone? And then you got to start thinking about guys on the defense, like Eric Armstead. You know, Fred Warner is going to have to keep getting paid. He's a top three linebacker in the league. You know, it's the windows, unless something crazy happens this year while Trey Lance is on a rookie contract. I mean, unless they pull some magic out, it just feels like this is a team that's just kicking the tires until it falls apart and they're forced to rebuild. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I still feel like they have a lot of pieces. I mean, Debo is there. They have Kittle. You know, Brandon Ayuk and Juwan Jennings are not bad pieces. The running game is still electric, especially with Trey Lance. Then you have Elijah Mitchell and Jeff Wilson Jr., who are awesome. There's still a lot of pieces on this team that would make you say it's a good football team, you would think. But just I keep going back to watching those games where Trey Lance started. It was bad football. It just looked ugly to watch. It was like watching the Jets play football almost. It was just slow, ugly. You know, Trey Lance is like just running for his life sometimes for no reason, just looked panicky, nothing worked. And then as soon as Jimmy G got back in there, it's like, okay, this is the 49ers team that everyone's usually afraid of. Okay, it's like that's how you know the weapons are there. You just need the right guy at the helm. I don't think this guy's it.
I don't feel confident that he's it.
I'd love to get Danny Boy's opinion. I unfortunately was unable to reach out to him to get his opinion for this show, but we'll get to him. We'll make sure we get it, especially before the season starts, without a doubt.
Oh, for sure.
The next team we have listed here is the one and the only Seattle Seahawks. They're going to be bad. It's going to be bad. I keep trying to look for bright spots. I really do. But I was just on Strikeout Beers podcast last night, and we talked about the Seahawks in detail. We went week by week and picked the games for their schedule. And originally I was thinking like 7-10. But at the end of our segment last night, I had them at 5-13. Or 5-12, I think. Yeah, 5-12. And I kind of shocked myself. Like, I must really think they're going to be worse than I even think. Like, I think they're going to be worse than I think. That's sad.
Right.
Obviously, Russell Wilson's gone. And I think this is a very good opportunity, because Pete Carroll and John Snyder are still there. I don't know how, but they are.
Yep.
This is pretty much his chance to prove, you know, it wasn't all just Russell. I was really leading the show. It was all me. I know how to run a team. I know what I'm doing. Let's see if it's true. Let's see it. Let's see you take a Russell Wilson-less team and win something. Because all the other pieces are still there. If you look at the roster, literally, like, nothing's changed. By the end of the season, they were one of the better defenses in the league. Rashad Penny was a beast. Now they added Ken Walker, who's, you know, some people would say has an offensive rookie of the year potential. I don't know about that. They still have DK Metcalf. They added Noah Fant to a tight end position. They still have D DK Metcalf. They have all these pieces still. They just lost Russ. That's the only piece they lost. And it's still just like, is losing Russell Wilson really that big of a deal? I guess it is. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong. Where you have them? What's your feeling on this team right now?
I don't feel good about it.
I need you to talk me up. I need you to be like, no, you're wrong. You're going to be great. Russ was dragging him down. God damn it.
I mean, Russell Wilson was to a very, very small point dragging them down. But for the most part, it was a team effort there, just not. That's just my opinion, not getting the job done. Like you said, like how is Strander and Pete Carroll still there? Like, I think this is definitely a good thing in years. No, and this, like, I would say, like, since Legion of Boom, it's been just downhill. And, like, I feel like the Seahawks, like, they got DK Metcalf. They've kind of hit on some running backs recently, ish. It's hard to tell when they can't stay healthy.
Right, that's your issue. Right. Chris Carson breaks his neck. Rashad Penny's bones and tissue, you know, is made out of glass. You know, I'll pray for Ken Walker's health. I'll tell you that. Poor bastard.
But I feel like this is definitely a prove it year for Carroll. And if they do as bad as I think they are going to do, I would say John Schneider and Pete Carroll are looking for a new career opportunity and firing up the resumes. I don't feel confident with Drew Lock or Geno Smith. I'm sure they'll figure something out to get a handful of wins. But it's one of those teams where it's like, it's almost like they're the car crash on the side of the road, and you want to look away, but you can't quite look away yet. But you gotta see if anything else is happening there to say like you saw it. But
like you're slowing down, you're just like, do something. I want to see. Are you gonna start the car right up amazingly, or are you gonna like blow up into flames? Like I need to see what the next thing is. I just found it very confusing that you could do a franchise changing move like trading away Russell Wilson but keep all the other pieces intact, especially in the front office and on the sideline. It's crazy to me, it really is.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. God damn it, it's so depressing. But you know, I've been here before. I've been a Seahawk fan for. How long ago was 2005?
So 17 years?
17 years I've been doing this. I went through my fair share of dark years. This will not be my first rodeo with a bad football team. It's just going to suck, that's all. We went through a very high period in the franchise's, you know, history. It's going to suck. And the last team we have listed was the Los Angeles Rams. They somehow just keep ignoring that the cap salary exists, and they lost Odell Beckham Jr., but they're like, hey, well, they lost Robert Woods as well. I think I got that wrong. They still have OBJ on the roster, do they not?
He's not on the roster. He's technically a free agent.
Oh, okay. I meant to put down that they lost Robert Woods, and
they traded for a seventh round pick, I think, for the Titans.
Which is so that's where they took an L there. Robert Woods was definitely worth more than a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
But they did manage to add Allen Robinson. How that's fair? Yeah. That seems like a kind of move where like the commissioner should step in and be like, no, let's calm down a little bit here, okay? I mean, this is what I kind of brought this up on last night's show. Is like adding Allen Robinson is just like adding like a pissed off. I was gonna say Michael Jordan, but he's not a goat. It's like, you know, you make someone mad, but then you give them an opportunity finally, like with a good team. That's what it kind of vibes with there. Like he was with the Bears forever. Right. It sucked. He was just miserable there. The Bears sucked. And now he's on a Super Bowl winning team with a future possible Hall of Fame quarterback in Matthew Stafford. Between him and Cooper Kupp, it's going to be disgusting. And then on defense, where you have arguably one of the best defensive players in NFL history in Aaron Donald, hey, let's just go add Bobby Wagner. Hey, why not? Yeah, best middle linebacker in the football game. Yeah, let's go get that. F you. Die. Stupid. Stupid. Stupid team. It's a stupid team. I hate this
team. They did lose Von Miller.
I mean, I know he's a Bill, and I don't want to talk... I don't want to say bad things about the Bills or Von Miller because he's a nice guy, but he's like 50. He's had his fair share of injuries. And, you know, he's there for as a veteran presence. The Rams don't need that presence right now. Everyone on that team is considered a vet now. They've all been through the ringer. They've won a Super Bowl.
Pretty much.
They didn't need Von Miller. That's why he's gone. The Bills with a young defense, they needed him. The Rams did not. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Von Miller is in the right spot where he needs to be.
Right.
Put it that way. Overall, I think the Rams got better in the offseason. I could see an argument for where they kind of stayed stagnant between their gains and losses.
I lean more towards staying the same with a slight tick up, like,
which I'm fine.
You're starting to head the bottom of the curve to where they hit, you know, say better. I'm curious if they actually do get OBJ signed back again. Because I feel like, you know, depending on the ACL tear, you know, how much it is for recovery, do they bring him back? I think he was an absolute threat in the Super Bowl, and he helped them in the playoffs quite a bit. You know, I'm sure Allen Robinson can step right in and take care of that, but they had a lot of no-name receivers in the Super Bowl when OBJ went down, and it was just Cooper Kupp and his minions, basically, catching the ball for Matthew Stafford. Like, it was all these weird names. You can't
forget about tight end Kendall Blanton, though. That dude came out of nowhere. Surprised he didn't get signed on another team. Wonder what kind of contract he's under. Like, just to watch a guy like that pop off in the playoffs after Higbee goes down.
Right.
Like, that was like one of those fun little forgotten stories. But yeah, go.
Yeah.
That fun storyline.
And I like the rushing. You know, the rushing offense is good this year. You know, Daryl Henderson and Cam Akers have done a pretty good job of the 1-2 punch. I think they have Sony Michel still there, I think.
He's not on their depth chart, but I don't know if he's with another team yet either. He might just be floating around. So it could be another piece they might bring back.
Right.
They might just be waiting on OBJ.
That's right.
Whether they bring back OBJ or Sony Michel, I don't know. Maybe they're waiting.
I would bring OBJ back over Sony Michel, but
personally, I would.
They made the team just as good, if not slightly better than what they were last year. So I think they still hold the NFC crown from all the other teams in the NFC conference. Like, this is the team to beat in the NFC.
Which, you know, that bar is kind of low for the NFC this year. You know, the Packers, who are usually kind of in contention for the one seed, they're just falling apart. His bud, Aaron Rodgers, his buddy is gone. You know, it kind of just feels like, you know, the Buccaneers are hanging on by a thread. It's like everyone hopes that it stays Tampa Bay, but, you know, you can see some cracks there. They're bringing in a desperation heave with bringing in Kyle Rudolph. Leonard Fournette's fat. You know, it just kind of seems iffy. Whatever's going on down there in Tampa.
Right.
And then I think that's literally the only people in the NFC that you even have to talk about. Rams, Packers, Bucks. I don't even know who else you would bring in the conversation.
Nobody from the least division.
No, if people want to say nice things about the Eagles, but there's no way they're on the same level as a Rams or maybe even Packers, Bucks. Washington, Giants, Cowboys, no, Bears, no, Lions, no, Vikings, no, Saints. I don't know. I had to see it to believe it.
Not yet.
Before I say something like that. Panthers, no, Falcons, hell no. Cardinals, no, Rams, 49ers and Seahawks. Yeah. The NFC just sucks this year. It really just does. So, Godspeed to all of them. Let's rank these guys real quick. Who do you have at number four?
I have the Seahawks at four.
Yeah, me too. Sucks so much. So I guess I have them anywhere from like 5 and 12 to 7. I think 7 and 10 is their ceiling. That's where I have
it. The Seahawks could be like the best fourth place in the division against the other divisions in the NFC. So.
The other fourth place teams in the other divisions?
Yeah.
They'll be the best fourth place team in all of the NFC. It's going to be great.
Right.
Who do you have at number three?
I struggle with three a little bit here, but
I had to think about it too.
Who's gonna be the
Who do you have at number one?
Number one, I have the Rams.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to make sure we're clear on that. All right.
that's straight up just the Rams at number one. Like,
so we have the worst and we have the best.
Yeah.
So now we got to duke it out for who's going to be two and three. Personally, I put the Cardinals at three. I just think the 49ers have a better roster. And when it comes down to scrappy wins, you know, putting something together, they have a nice young quarterback, like, fighting on a rookie contract. He's going to get his time in training camp this year. Maybe he can pull something together to at least where they mimic some version of an offense. I still think the defense has top five potential. These are things that I can't say about the Cardinals. Their offense just doesn't have that same spark that it used to. Like, you don't look at this team and go, wow, the Cardinals are electric. You look at it and go, there's obviously missing pieces because of what we've seen the past couple seasons now. In the defense, they lost their best piece in Chandler Jones. He's gone. That dude was a monster. And then J.J. Watt will be hurt by week three, so now you lost your two starting edge rushers. So I just think the 49ers roster overall will give them like a one-win edge to get second place in the division.
All right, I like it. You talked me into it.
Talked you into it? Sweet.
I like the Cardinals at three and the Niners at two. Because, like you said, the scrappiness there. The Niners are just going to – they will literally play a run option game, like the entire game and win the game, like 13-10. The Cardinals will try and do that and lose 42-7. Like,
and then they'll like get desperate and have Kyler throwing Hail Marys every play. Have you noticed that? Like, just like, I guess, like, kind of like a last talking point. Have you noticed, like, when the Cardinals get desperate in a game, they refuse to just methodically go down the field? They will just start chucking the ball all over the place. That shows it's poor patience with Kyler Murray, and it's shit coaching from Kingsbury.
Right. It's that college style offense that made Baker, made Johnny Manziel, made Kyler Murray all look good. Does not translate in the NFL.
No, it does not.
Because as soon as that corner or that safety recognizes the receiver or tight ends are scrambling to get open, it's shutdown mode. Like, these guys are all over them. And then Kyler's running 80 yards to save himself, and then chucks it up in the air, and most of it could be an interception.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 times it's an interception or an incompletion, and then that 1 out of 10 is when DeAndre Hopkins catches it in between 3 Bills players. That's the 1 out of 10.
Yeah, pretty much.
Got him. Well, that's gonna do it for this show, if I'm not mistaken. That's our NFC West breakdown and rankings. I feel like it's pretty accurate. I think we got this one nailed.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident in this. Unless the Seahawks, like Drew Lock, becomes an MVP candidate. Other than that, that's the only way I see this not being accurate.
Drew Lock will be an MVP candidate of handing the ball off.
Oh my God! Can he get an award for that? Best ball hander offer in the NFL?
Maybe. Yeah.
They can name it the Drew Lock Award after this season. if this entire season the Seahawks just literally run the ball like a million times, I guarantee it could become a meme enough to where they make the Drew Lock Award of handing the ball off. That'd be amazing. Like, they have 3 1,000-yard rushers. It'll be awesome. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Thank you all for tuning into this fantastic episode of On Off Field with Durf and Dylan. Don't forget the floss, and we'll see you next week.
On and off the field.